Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks to Stan Weber for joining us in studio. Later on, we'll get the weather forecast from Gary Lezak. Mike McFarland will talk baseball with us, and then we'll have sound from Barry Odom, Les Miles, and Chris Kleiman checking in on Mizzou, KU, and K-State football. And remember, every hour of the show, we're giving away a pair of tickets to go see the Chiefs in the first preseason game against the Bengals at Arrowhead Stadium tomorrow night, courtesy of Sports Radio 810 WHB. Just keep listening. Tickets every hour today right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Right now, we're going to talk music and listen to some wonderful music. We're very happy to have the Samples in studio with us, and someone who's been on the show with us before. It's been a couple of years, but Sean Kelly is here with us on the microphone, and he's got some friends with him. Sean, good morning. How are you?
We're doing great. Good morning. How are you?
Doing terrific. Thanks so much for coming in studio with us. And we had Nate had asked you about getting up early, and then you told him that you have a five-year-old child. Mm-hmm. So getting up early is no stranger to you as the father of many kids, of four kids. I have twin 10-year-old girls, and they're not interested in anyone sleeping in at all, Sean.
No. So yes,
you get
exactly.
It. And Nate Bucati, you were lucky enough to be at Brick and Mortar, one of my favorite places.
Yep.
In Waldo, if you want to go and have a great time, whether it's dinner or drinks or anything, go to Brick and Mortar just off of 75th Street in Waldo. And Nate Bucati, what were you a part of last night?
So these guys did a little private showing at Brick and Mortar last night, which is a small venue. It's basically a restaurant. So, you know, you guys set up a little, it reminded me of the old MTV Unplugged type sets.
It really,
you know,
was, because people were behind you and in front, or
yeah,
something was really...
Yeah, we were all around you, basically. And there was like a big, nice rug that you guys were, you had your stools on and were playing.
That was a lot of fun.
It was intimate. And I will say this, too. I mean, I've been listening to you guys since I was in high school, and I've always thought you have one of the most unique singing voices that I've ever heard. And you always wonder when you hear somebody live, especially in a small acoustic setting like that, are they really going to sound in person like they do, you know, when you hear them in their studio recorded type stuff? And you do, man. Your voice is incredible, and you guys are incredible musicians, too. It's really a joy to watch you guys play your instruments, your guitars, while you're doing it too. It was great. It was a great show last night. It was a lot of fun.
It's ironic because, or maybe not ironic, but all those songs were written that way. So they originated on an acoustic guitar that way, and then the electric version comes later.
Yeah.
So that's like hearing it as it was written.
Is it more fun for you to play it that way or to play with the electric guitars and all that when you perform?
For me, both are great. I would have to do both, you know, on and off throughout my journey. But, yeah, I love it both. They're both great.
And, of course, you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. And for the people that weren't lucky enough to be at Brick and Mortar last night with Nate Bucati watching the Samples, you get another chance to see the Samples in concert tonight. Crossroads KC, a wonderful outdoor venue to watch music, and it should be a great show with the Magic Beans, and we talked about how excited we are to have you back in town to come out and to play again at Crossroads KC. Also, Yonder Mountain String Band, and of course, the Samples, and just one of my favorite places to watch live music, and that sounds like a hell of a lineup, a great show tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I love that place so much, and with Grinders right there with the food. It's just so neat with a little hit in the middle of the city, like this little, you know, little Woodstock scenario, or whatever you call it.
Oh, yeah, and you got to get over there and get the food. Great sandwiches, great pizza, great everything.
Yeah.
And so if you want to get tickets tonight, go to crossroadskc.com. Tickets available, crossroadskc.com. The box office, if you want to go down there, opens at 4:30. Doors open at 6:30, and the show is at 7:30. All ages, lawn chairs and blankets are allowed, so... coming out tonight to Crossroads KC and enjoy a great night of live music, Nate Bucati.
You guys, and I was looking at your catalog of work. When I knew you guys were coming to town, I started digging up my old Samples CDs and stuff, and I was listening to it. But then I was looking it up. I mean, you guys have just kept cranking out albums up until, well, your last one was about 5 years ago. Is that right?
America, I think, was probably like that. And then we've got a new one coming out. Like,
you do.
Sent to the manufacturer today, isn't it, Thomas?
Wow. So, I mean, you just keep making new music. And I'm curious about that process, like, because you don't see everybody do that. But you guys, I mean, what, 20, plus years now?
Well, if you count the live stuff too, there's a couple live albums. I think we have about 25 or 26.
That's an incredible amount of music.
Yeah.
To create.
It is.
Is that do you enjoy creating new music more, or do you enjoy, you know, when you go out and you play, cuz like last night you played a lot of the songs that I remember from when I was in college even, and do you enjoy going back to that old stuff and playing it and seeing people like me that react to it, or do you enjoy making the new stuff? Is it how would you rank the two things?
I love it all. And the most difficult part is that, you know, typically it's like an 18 song set list, and that's we have more albums than that. So it's hard to pick and choose what to. So yeah, it's lots of music.
I'm guessing you have some songs that maybe, you know, are your favorites, but maybe weren't the biggest hits that you had. And then you got to feel like you got to play the ones that the audience wants to hear, but you got to sneak some of the ones in that you love the most too, right?
Yeah, it's we never play the same twice, so it's always fresh and new for me. I don't care. I could play any of our songs a million times, you know, and it's going to be different each day. I'm not good enough to play the same lead or the same whatever. So, and that's where you explore new ways to play songs too. So,
do you ever like forget the songs? If you have that many songs.
I did last night. I did lots of words. I don't know what it was. I started thinking, was that light in my eye? It was, I'm like, what are the words to this again? Yeah, that happens sometimes.
I'm so amazed by what you guys do, because I am not a musician by any way, shape, or form, but my mother-in-law gave me a ukulele like 2 years ago, and so now that's like my hobby. And like on the weekends, I'll go downstairs to the basement and watch a YouTube video and try to teach myself to play a new song, you know?
It's so great.
And watching you guys do that, where I've never gotten a song right once. Like, I screw something up every single time, you know?
That's what it's about.
But you guys, you have hundreds of songs.
They're all screw-ups that we refined.
But you
know, words to them.
You can play the way you guys can perform. It's just incredible to me. You know that you guys you just show up and there you are.
We just there's more listening to music than playing.
Is that right?
Yeah, you got to listen to each other. You know, so there's a lot more listening going on than playing. Believe it or not, then it all comes together, and that's the magic.
You got lucky there, by the way, because whenever Nate brings up doing videos of himself in his basement, it can go
well.
A different
way. That can go a different way. Yeah,
I kind of held my breath there. I was like, oh, what are we doing here?
I watch a lot of videos in my basement.
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah.
Yes. I set up the tripod in the basement, and here's what happened.
Are one pathetic loser.
And so, whenever we are lucky enough to have musicians in the studio, I always ask this question, because I have a son that's a musician, and he's played for like 12 years. He's 22, and he plays all around Kansas City. And I look at him, and he figured out what he wanted to do, what he fell in love with when he was like 12 years old. You know, and this is what he wants. And he teaches music at School of Rock location here, and he plays all over, and he teaches. You know, keyboard and guitar and bass, and he plays all those instruments. Doesn't sing.
How old is he?
22. Now,
and he knows all that. He taught himself.
And so it started out that way, and then, you know, he took lessons. But then he's one of those kids that just hears it and plays it. But he loves it. He loves music. That's his passion, and he loves teaching. And so, and I'm sure you get asked this a lot, but if you know, what advice do you give to a young musician that's still that truly has the love and the passion for it, and that's where they get their happiness, that's where they get their joy. What advice would you give to someone that's trying to do this for a living?
They want to make it a career.
Yes,
I would prepare yourself for a lot of start to become very good friends with failure. That's your guide. You know, you can't stop no matter what at all. You know, don't have expectations. And get rid of the ego. The ego is the thing that stops you. The needing other people's approval, or how does this song sound? It's too subjective. You know, it sounds, and you're kind of opening yourself up for a lot of criticism and stuff. And you're going to go through that, and you just have to have the strength to blaze through it. And in the music business, I like to say it's like a desert. So bring snake boots.
That's right.
Yeah.
when did you know? Like, when did you decide, okay, this is what I want to do, this is what I'm going to do? When did that click for you?
When I was 16.
What made it click?
Dropping out of high school. faster.
Right.
I mean, I always had a love of music, but that sped up the process, you know, because I was out working regular jobs by 17 and knowing that I was going to play music. So I taught myself. That's why I could so relate to your son's story, or anyone young that's really chasing a dream, chasing their, you know, their muse. And there's no school you can go to that right. guarantees that you're going to come out playing music. You know, there's here, now go. It's really about determination and accepting the fail. You know, the failures and stuff like that are just, it's all part of it. You got to embrace that.
Why did you drop out of high school?
Because in eighth grade, I was told I was mentally retarded for writing a poem about a duck I hatched in an incubator. And then I moved.
By your teacher? By one of your teachers?
Yeah.
So you just decided I'm not any good at school?
I was actually pretty good. I used school for like, I was way into bird watching and ornithology, mm-hmm. and I had utilized every bird book in that school, in the elementary school, that I was now sent to an adult library that had much better books on birds. Mm-hmm. And I pretty much felt like I learned all I needed to learn for me. And looking back, I think I have like some learning disabilities, dyslexia for sure, and probably some ADD and this, that, and the other that they didn't know anything about back then. So mm-hmm. they didn't know where to categorize me. You know, music was my the worst class. You know,
really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I wanted to play drums. So I tried to take drum lessons, but it was like a half an hour a week in school, and all you did was the old, what is it, Billy?
Parididdle.
And I'm like, give me a drum set. I just want to see if I can play it. And there's like five of them sitting there, and you can't touch them. And then, you know, so. But also, my mother moved at that age to northern Vermont from southern Vermont. And that's a tough time, you know, when you're just going into high school. You've lost all your connections, your friends and everything. And it was kind of rough. So I lost interest. Rapidly and took my GED, so I graduated. Yeah, I went from I don't know if that's politically correct anymore, but that was the term for me was mentally retarded.
That's what you were told. Then, yeah.
So I went from mentally retarded to dropping out to graduating three to four years before my peers. So I was very confusing, you know.
Yeah. Did you say when you dropped out, I'm doing this so I can become a musician, or was it just, I'm done with school, I'm going to figure something else out?
I had been in my room practicing over and over, and I started to feel like I could take that leap and be like, you know what, I don't need this. So wow. I followed that more. And it's, you know, had I not been isolated, like we lived on a little street called Bear Trap Road with one streetlight every 5 miles on a dirt road and duplex. And so I didn't have anything to do, you know, so it was really about being kind of forced to have that kind of time you wouldn't normally have as a kid. At that age, I would have been distracted by too many things and all with my friends and look back, and it would have been just that cool dream I had, but the fate kind of played a role too, but when I look back, it wasn't a fun time in my life at all. Mm. And most of the songs off our first album, the Blue Album, were all written when I was around that age. Nature and whatever's on that first album, I can't remember right now, but those were all written when I was about 17.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a bizarre career. I can't believe it's still going, you know?
And it is still going. We have Sean Kelly in studio with us from The Samples. And so the question I ask with a lot, we're very lucky to have a lot of really great guests on the show like yourself. And whether it's, I like to ask, you know, a heavyweight boxer, what's it like when you walk out to the ring and 20,000 people and you're getting ready to fight for the title, right? And I like to give that, at least that experience through their words to our listeners. And so for you, what's it like? How do you describe the feeling when you're on stage and you've connected with the audience and you got that feeling and it's and just you're in that zone? What how would you describe that feeling?
Incredibly addicting, because it's one of the few parts of this career that you actually get something back. Everything is, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff you don't see behind the scenes. It's draining, incredibly draining, just to get up, and so you can't wait to get there because it's like a phone charger, you know. The rest of the time your career is like that little red thing beeping on your phone saying this is about to go, and thank God you can get up on the stage and play, because that's such a, that gives you energy as you're putting it out. It's pretty cool.
I was talking to somebody about this, and you know, when you see a musician that you love, I went up and said something to you last night, you know, about how much I like that song Nature. And somebody said, well, are you bothering them? And I just thought to myself, if
who said that?
If when you're 17 years old, you poured your heart and life experience into a work of art, which is what your songs are, right? And then 20 years later, somebody came up to you and said, hey, that meant a lot to me.
30 years later.
Right? That's got to be incredibly powerful for you to hear from anybody that, man, you did something when you were 17 years old that meant a lot to you, and it means a lot to me, too.
Oh, man, that's another thing that gives us the fuel back.
Right.
You know? Oh, my God, yeah.
What an incredible compliment that is for someone to pay you.
It is. It really is. And I don't think there's one exchange in 30 years where somebody's ever come up and not been treated as like a politician. They're your voters, you know. You're like, thank you. And
yeah.
Yeah, there's never been a time, unless it's somebody who wants to kill us.
Well, I think that you've got plenty of friends here with you. If you would introduce everyone that's here with you, and you're going to play a song.
Yes,
for
we've
us,
got the
please.
Wonderful Tom Askin.
Right on.
Go way back with this guy. We've got Joe Biglin.
What's up, Joe?
That's how we pronounce it, right, Joe? Yes.
That's right.
He is the uncowardly lion. That's what I call him.
I like it. He's got the mane to match.
He does. Yeah. And we've got the wonderful Bill Mutchler.
Bill?
On drums. Incredible Jared Johnson on bass. And we've got it's like two Vermonters and three from Jersey.
Wow.
So we've got a mix.
Okay.
This is the cream of the crop here.
Bill's my guy because you... almost every morning I want to wear sunglasses in this damn studio. Trust me on that. And then my producer takes them away from me. So I'm living vicariously through you right now. Let's hear it. What are you going to play for us?
Is there a little water?
Oh, yeah. Let's get some water. Here he goes. Look at this. Producer, he does it all. We'll
bring it into action.
So just set it up for us and tell us a little bit about what we're going to hear. What are you guys going to play for us?
What are we going to hear, Tom? Something we could all kind of... Did you ever look so nice?
There we go.
That's one of the most well-known songs you guys have.
Do you know what that song's about? I'll give you a quick thank you.
Yeah, give us a little background on it.
Long, long ago, starting out in Burlington, Vermont, we couldn't find any shows anywhere to play. It was very difficult, but we made a little demo tape. We went to all these different bars and clubs, and, you know, that's another. There's your beginnings of failure. Not failure, rejection. That's what's important to embrace. So, long story short... something clicked in my head one day, and it just said, find an old folks home. Find a place where maybe they need music.
Right.
So I called up a place called Fern Hill Convalescent Center in Winooski, Vermont, and they greeted us like, yes, come up with your guitars. And we started having a weekly show there, and right out of the gates, the people, there was a universal language of music and all this age gap thing happening, that they felt so warmed up to us that right after we were done, they would come and share all their photo albums and their lives and stuff.
Wow.
And there was like, I can still kind of hear it, but there was like, say, Grandmother Fairbanks. Oh dear, didn't he look so nice? And that's where that's from. It's from the old folks sharing their stories of their lives.
I never would have guessed that backstory.
No one would, but that's the truth.
What a story.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Jake, you love that. Look at Jake's also our musical director on the show, and we get complimented for the bump music we play. But it's all him.
Do you need me to move so you can sit down?
Nate, get the hell out of here.
And once we have nowhere to play,
pop up that fourth microphone too. Yeah.
Once we have nowhere to play again, guess straight where we're going.
Turn it around. Yep, we're
good. Fern Hill.
That's a great story.
And again, if you would like to get tickets tonight to go see the Samples, go to crossroadskc.com. crossroadskc.com. The box, if you can't buy them online, box office opens at 4:30, doors open at 6:30, show as it's 7:30, and it's the Samples along with Yonder Mountain String Band and the Magic Beans. But right now, live in studio on Sports Radio 810 WHB, here is the Samples.
Our places with the world beneath our feet. Growing up was on our faces. I remember you're so sweet. Did you ever look so nice? Did you ever look so nice? Every turn became our future, there for us to make our bet, that the longer I remember, you're the hardest to forget. Did you ever look so nice? Ever look so nice? Did you ever look so nice? Did you ever look so nice? Nothing was in stone, but the glance of our exchanges. Did they ever look so nice? Did you 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 ever look so nice? Never looked so nice. Did you ever look so nice? Did you ever look so nice?
How in the hell do you get your voice to sound so good this early in the morning?
Oh, I'm singing very low. If I'd went into my real register, it'd be Peter Brady.
When it's time to change.
But still, that can't be easy. I mean, I have trouble talking this early in the morning, much less singing.
Smoke and mirrors. I'm just right? aware of where it's at right now. And so if I attempted the stuff that, like, no, I didn't want to do it.
Right. Right. And so that's another question I had for you. Over the years, how do you take care of your voice?
Tequila.
Yeah.
Cigarettes.
Well, my voice should be good with that first one.
Wild women.
Well, there you go.
No.
Jake, you were right.
I told you.
Right.
I don't warm up or anything, and it's probably really bad. And I hope that I don't pay for that one day.
Right. But so that's you, man.
I don't do anything. I mean, yeah, that's just scream. It's screaming in key, really. That's all it is. That's the trick.
Right. So what? So for tonight's show, what can people expect when they come out to Crossroads KC tonight to see you in just a great outdoor venue?
Probably the best show we've ever played.
That's right. Wow, that's what I was thinking. That's what I was hoping for.
Know, we're this is like exactly like sports too. I mean, just what are we up against? We go back in the dugout or wherever it may be, and we just have a few shots, and off we go to do the best we can, best game.
Where do you go next after Kansas City? What's your next spot?
We head down to Omaha, Nebraska.
Right.
And then down to...
No, you're supposed to say we play Omaha.
We play Omaha.
Play Omaha.
Like it's a play stop. Mm-hmm. And then off to Lincoln.
Okay.
Play Lincoln.
And then Snowmass, Colorado will be after that. So we'll head out that way. And then we head actually back east after that and do a little run there. And then back out this way up to Chicago. So all over.
Get the new album out.
The same.
My goal, sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I'm going to get this band on Jimmy Fallon somehow.
Jimmy Fallon?
Yep. That's there my goal.
Go. So why Jimmy Fallon specifically? Is there?
I like that show, yeah. And I think he'd really dig our music. Like, but we just need a publicist in play. We need some kind of a team. What is it? We need to rally the team, and just get our. I think people would really. I think this next album's going to be kick butt. Like, it's really going to be nice.
You can say kick ass on our.
Can I say kick ass?
Right, we prefer it, to be honest.
It's going to be kick ass. It's, you know, it's called Indian Summer. It's 14 brand new songs, and we all are part of it. It's really nice, and I just think it's time we get our asses on a TV show, you know? Like something like that, even though we don't have the big monster behind us or whatever it is. We're going to do it somehow.
Jimmy Fallon. So yeah. We're behind you.
Mainly, I mean, after being on this show, though, it's going
right,
to
yeah.
be
a
it's going to be a little...
It'll be a big letdown.
Well, this was the first, you know, this was the goal first here, right. And then we're going to take it up just a little bit and get on Jimmy Fallon.
Right, and you finally got here, and so you know, hopefully it's...
Actually, playing Fallon would be a step back.
Right,
from this,
right.
That's
know?
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
I just want I want people to hear our music, you know? Yeah. There's only so many you can... We're so grateful that we can be here with you right now. I mean, it's... because it exposes the music to so many people that have no idea we exist, and they might really like it. And I think there's a menu out there, and if you're not on the menu, you don't exist. And some of the best food is, you know, this music is, there's no way to get it on that menu, you know, and just have it as a choice, you know, in the big realm of things. And
all the best meals are off menu.
Right?
All the best meals are off menu.
Well, for example, a few years ago, there's a producer for the movie Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Right.
And was a fan, so he just asked if he could put one of our songs on in there, and we're like, absolutely, you kidding me? And now you go, that's one song. I wrote that when I was 18 years old. That's one song. And you go on YouTube, and there's all these 18-year-old kids playing that song, and it's just like the coolest thing ever, that they never would have connected to that in a million years with the resources we have to get out there. And so could you just imagine with the catalog we have, you wouldn't see our dust. That'd be it.
You know, and I always tell my kid, play every gig around here. You never know who's going to be in the audience. Take every opportunity for people to hear your music. If it's 10 people
it's
or 100
people.
It's
not to make money or be famous, drive cars or anything. I have no interest in that. It's purely, when I saw all those little kids that connected to that one song because it was in that movie, my wheels were going, you know, how many, because we're like in a vacuum doing it on our own, and it's great. It's totally awesome. But could you just imagine how many people would really, really dig it that are just younger or like anywhere that just have finally a resource to hear us in some other format than places they can't even get into or they're far away.
The samples on Jimmy Fallon.
Let's make it happen.
Amen. Take it to social media. That's the samples in studio.
You need to get on a video game. You want to get with the kids.
Oh boy.
You get one of your songs to be played on like Fortnite. I'm telling. It sounds like a joke.
No.
But my son, like, he gets all of his music from what they play on Fortnite and stuff like that.
I'm into it.
Get
man.
On one of those video games, you'll take off.
This is one of the very few bands you'll ever hear that's not going through a filter of like A&R people, producers. It's got to sound like this through a record company. This is pure.
Yeah.
You know, this is grade A. This is the best and farthest we can take something, without. And there's been a million times that we've been offered all kinds of things to change it or do this and run it through this and that. That's been of no interest. That's purely, that says right there, it's not for the fame, money, or whatever the hell you think is going to make you happy from it. It's purely to be like, how many, it's pure. It's like, this is, someone can do it too. Like, look at us, we're an example. You can do it. It doesn't have, because there's nothing but filters and stuff. By the time it gets to a person out there, it's been through way too, it's watered down. Yeah. It's not the same thing, and it's not a lot of that out anymore at all. Mm-hmm. At all. And so
go see the samples, Crossroads KC, all ages show tonight,
Jimmy Fallon,
and then wait for them to go on Jimmy Fallon. And I'll tell you what, at any point tonight, if you want to see that crowd go crazy, your music will do it for them, but just scream Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes, into the microphone, and you will have people rush the stage.
That's right.
If you want to feel that jolt of electricity from the from the cheese.
Everyone, let's do the wave.
He's got it. That's the samples. That's Sean Kelly and the samples in studio back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.